Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, man. Hey. Still.
Oh, my God.
Such an idiot.
Oh, that's going to be a staple. Ben's going to have to do it when we come back. Marks and Race, this begins our uninterrupted sports conversation for nearly 1 hour. We're live at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. John Marks and Ike Race at 888-729-9494. Well, Ike, whenever you talk about Nick Foles, everybody wants to talk about Nick, including Riley, who is from Philadelphia. She's 8 years old, and she came up to us during the break, and she said, can I tell you what I think about what you're talking about? And we said, yeah, of course you can. She made her case, and we said, well, let's come on the air. So, Riley, hi, honey. So, you're a Nick Foles fan.
Yeah.
So, what do you think Nick Foles should do?
I think that he should not go back, because I think that he should spend more time with his baby and his wife instead of traveling all over the place with the team, because I think that you should spend more time with your family and be grateful for your family instead of just traveling all around the world and hanging out with not your family. And
so you want him to retire all to not even you don't even want him to go to Jacksonville. You want him to retire, period, right? Just stop playing football.
No, I want him to stay one more year as a backup, but I still think that it's better for him to be with his family.
Oh, well, there you have it, Riley. A lot of people agree with you.
Riley,
Nick, one more year. Give like a high five, honey.
There you go. Good job.
Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Who's your favorite Eagles? Is it Nick?
I actually like them all.
What about Carson Wentz?
Good answer.
Are you on the Wentz wagon, or are you a Nick Foles girl?
I like both.
Stop it, John. Stop it. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you.
The longer you stay up here, the more Ike's going to get mad at me.
You're trying to put her in an awkward position. She's already nervous. Yeah.
She did a great job. She
warmed
up there.
Now you're about to start asking her to choose between players she loves.
Well, I mean, everybody has an opinion on it. I figured maybe,
She had a perfect answer. And that's why I love the sweet innocence of children.
I like both.
She had a perfect answer.
I have a three-year-old. I know what I would try to train her to say.
She likes both. Guess what? As all Eagles fans should. You should like both.
Agreed.
That's the way you should. You can learn from an eight-year-old.
It's like, remember how he was talking about, they're trying to get him to say who he liked between Wentz and Goff?
Yeah.
And he was saying, I like chocolate. I like vanilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing with Foles and Wentz.
No, that's not the same thing.
Why not?
But I get the point.
Okay. All right, let's do it, people. 888-729-9494. Scott in Jersey. Scott, you lead us off, brother. What's up?
What's going on, fellas?
How are you?
What up, Scott?
I'm not doing too bad. The whole Wentz thing, I love him. Great. He's our fucking starting quarterback. Hands down.
Catch that. Get that. Get that. Get that, Jack. Dump it.
I didn't even – well, I mean, I think I know what he said. I didn't – all right. Let's go to Gino.
Well, you can't. Here you go.
Kennett Square. Gino, or can I go, Jack, or do I have to wait a second? Are we good? Gino, go ahead, brother. How are you?
How you guys doing today?
Good.
What's up, Gino?
I think the thing that I want to get to, why I want to keep Nick Foles, is that he gives you your best 53-man roster next year. I know you got to kind of build to the future and you got to think about those things, but next year – that's the year you got to focus on and you got to win at that point. I don't think a third-round pick or whatever they might potentially get for him is going to be as valuable as what Nick Foles brings to the table. And I understand what you're saying. You got to create this perfect environment for Carson. But if my star quarterback can't handle the pressure of not having a perfect environment, I don't trust him handling the pressure in the big moments of games. And I don't trust Nick Foles or Carson Wentz, both of them, to be able to play a full 16-game schedule. So I need them both in there next year to ensure that I have my best 53-man roster and the best potential to win the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
But I think that's the smart thing to do, to bring them back, because that gives you your best chance to win. Let's say you trade them for a third-round pick, and you get a backup linebacker or a backup receiver. Is that person going to help you win the Super Bowl more so than what Nick Foles is going to do for you next year?
What if you get a starting linebacker or a starting receiver?
You potentially could get a starting linebacker or starting receiver, but the way that Nick Foles has come on the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
he's brought so much to the table. There's no way a linebacker or receiver is going to be able to replace that and give you the value that you get with Nick Foles next year.
Yeah, but how's he going to play if he doesn't play? How's he going to help you if he doesn't play?
He's the insurance policy that you have behind Carson Wentz.
Yeah,
and
I said, how does he help you if he doesn't play?
If he doesn't play, he doesn't help you. But that's
okay.
The risk that you need to take. There's definitely a risk with it.
Well, I'd rather take that third-round pick and fill a starting need. That's what I'd rather do.
Let's go to Glenn in Atlantic City. Hi, Glenn. Hello, Glenn. We'll try Rick Lancaster. Hi, Rick.
Hey.
What's up, brother? How are you?
Hello.
What's up, Rick?
Hello, Rick.
Hey, I can listen, you guys. What that kid said about if he can't handle the pressure of Foles, I swear I was going to say the same thing. Mm-hmm. The thing is, please don't hang up on me. You guys are short on this. But the thing is, when you have an injury like that to your knee and like that, a player is never the same. Now, you know that. Is that right or wrong?
No, it's not.
I'm wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong.
Okay, well then I'm wrong. But then I'd guess to say that maybe 75% of them don't come back the same.
From an ACL injury?
You're wrong on that, too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I know that you're a giant Wentz fan.
Foles,
you come right back at it with something.
You asked me a question.
I love them both, man.
Rick, you asked me a question about whether or not a guy could come back from an injury and whether it was right or wrong. I said it was wrong. I wouldn't have said anything. I would have just let you talk, but you asked me a question.
I know that. I know because you know more about it, than I ever would, I mean, I played up to high school. What's that? That's nothing. I mean, at least I know what it's like to have to put on a uniform. Remember when you were a kid playing peewee and you had to get somebody to do your shoulder pads and stuff?
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
All right, Rick.
I don't know how long you expect me to go through the Foles Wentz thing. Like, you're not going to say anything I haven't heard already. So I'm just letting you speak. But if you ask me a question, I'm going to give you the answer. I'm not going to cut anybody off.
Well,
I'll just let you just call up and make your point about Foles. I've had this back and forth, so I can't provide anything new. I can't provide anything new. But if you ask me a question, I'm just giving you the answer. Don't be mad at me because I won't confirm what you feel.
Well, knee injury to a guy in his mid-20s, an ACL injury, that's not... He said 75% of the people. It's a 2-year recovery to where maybe you feel 100% back. Maybe you'll lose a little bit.
Peyton Manning came back from neck surgery and won a Super Bowl, threw 55 touchdowns.
Yeah, he was able to do it.
So Drew Brees came back from reconstructive shoulder surgery and had a Hall of Fame career. So, like, I can give 1,000 different examples. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can. Andrew Luck.
Well, Tom Brady tore his ACL.
Andrew Luck, Tom Brady. I mean, I can keep going through examples.
Yeah, the fact that he keeps getting injured, I think, is something that you can look at and be like, all right, well, that's got to stop. But let's go to Peter, Media, Pennsylvania. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I hope you guys will indulge me. I so enjoyed the back and forth about taking Antonio Brown, and I found myself agreeing with both of you guys. And Johnny Marks, I absolutely am with you. There are so many reasons I don't want to root for this guy, and especially the off-the-field stuff more than the on-the-field. At the same time, I think you're right, that this guy is unguardable. And he is, if you think about all the other players in the league who are really truly unguardable, There's not many. And you have to, as an opponent, adjust your game plan for this guy. So I went to my tiebreaker. For me, whether it's in business or in sports or any sort of competition, and you could probably even put your own opponents.
Sorry, Peter. Try us back. Your phone was clicking in and out. Let's go to George in South Philly. Hi, George.
How you doing, fellas?
How are you?
What's up, George?
I wanted to touch base on the whole Nick Foles situation. I also want to touch base on the Harper and Machado situation.
Yes. Yes.
As far as the whole Foles thing goes, a couple of callers ago we saying something about our starting quarterback not being mentally strong enough to have the guy behind him and needing a perfect situation. It's not about when needing that perfect situation. You know, they always say that the most popular guy in any city is the number two quarterback. It's the media and the fans who are going to be calling for Foles all year.
George, you got your door open? Or put your seatbelt
on? Hold on one second.
Well, no, it's beeping. Hold on a second. Is it beep, 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 beep? Let's go to Duncan and Voorhees. Hi, Duncan. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing fantastic. How you guys doing?
What's up, Duncan?
I'm actually a first-time caller, and I'm a really big fan of you guys, so I really appreciate y'all letting me come on here and talk a little bit. But the whole Foles thing is we all know that he used to – like, I feel personally that I don't trust him to play 16 full games. I know a couple years back when we got Chip Kelly as the coach, you know, he came in and he played a really stellar season, and I want to say he threw, like, 28 touchdowns and two picks. Mm-hmm. But ever since then, he hasn't been able to play the full stretch, I feel. Don't get me wrong, he's the king in the clutch. Like, I'd pick him, I don't know, over Wentz, but I would definitely pick him if I had, you know, to pick between a couple other quarterbacks. But I would definitely choose him in the clutch. He showed that.
Odds would be against Nick starting 16 games if he goes somewhere and being – I agree with you. Yeah, odds would be against – he takes hits, man, whether it would be a shoulder or a concussion or whatever. I agree with you.
He does. He's great. He stays in. He makes sure he gets the ball out. But, you know, you do have to limit your hits every once in a while. But, like, the other guy who said that he doesn't think that Carson's going to bounce back from the ACL injury. Even like you guys said, Peyton Manning with his shoulder. Look at AP with his ACL. Adrian Peterson came back. Sure, he wasn't 100% in the next year or two. He's still a killer quarterback, running back.
He ran for 2,000 yards the next year, didn't he?
Yeah, he ran for 2,000 yards the following year. Yeah, medicine today, rehab, technology, all that stuff. Injuries aren't the same as they used to be. Hell, people are even coming back sooner now from Achilles tears. Yep. Those used to be sort of the ending of your career type of injuries. ACLs, you know, the idea that an 8-10 ACL all of a sudden made you a bad player, That's so far-fetched in the whole RG3 nonsense. You know what? RG3 was a system quarterback at Baylor that should have never been drafted number two overall. And because he threw for 20 touchdowns his rookie year and no one was really adept to the spread offense or the read option, and he took advantage of that until he got injured, he couldn't do anything more than that. That's why once he finally got healthy, he wasn't a better quarterback. He was a worse quarterback because he couldn't run anymore. So the idea that an injury is going to all of a sudden derail Carson Wentz's career, I don't know. Playing at about 75%, still able to throw for 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I can go through all his numbers and where they ranked at, and that's not being at 100%. So most people, most logical people, right, when you're projecting, most logical people would say, well, if he were able to play this way, at less than 100%, if he's 100%, just imagine what he could do. We look at that 2017 season like that can't be duplicated. He threw 33 touchdowns and seven picks in 13 games with like 3,500 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine if they weren't blowing out every team and he got to play every snap for four quarters. Imagine what his numbers look like. Instead of running the clock out for 8 minutes versus San Diego, imagine if he was still throwing, putting up yardage and putting up touchdowns. Imagine what his numbers would have looked like. They blew out so many teams that year when they got on that run. his numbers didn't look like other people's numbers.
I mean, it was still very impressive.
How many times
could have been more?
How many times did Nick Foles come in and play in that fourth quarter during that 9-game winning streak?
3 times, maybe.
Right, because they blew teams out.
Yeah, a number of times.
So
you're right.
I mean, I'm.
Well, it's one of the reasons why they led the league. They were so high in the league in rushing was because they were playing with the lead so
exactly.
often.
Exactly.
No, you're right.
So when you're playing with the lead, you don't throw as much. You don't throw as much. He can do what he did in 2017. That's nothing.
I hope so.
That's nothing. That wasn't even that spectacular. What Patrick Mahomes did this year was spectacular.
Well, he won an MVP. It was pretty spectacular in 2017.
Compared to the rest of the guys, winning an MVP throwing 33 touchdowns. I mean,
well, yeah,
that ain't throwing 50 touchdowns like Pat Mahomes.
He set the bar pretty high this year, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Peyton threw for 55.
55, yeah.
So
you're right.
Like, those numbers aren't numbers that have never been reached before.
Marks and Reese on 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting away from our Tasty Cake studios. We're live at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia here every Friday, including in 2 Fridays. It's our cancer benefit, Striking Out Cancer. Mm-hmm. Goes from 5 to 8, celebrity bartenders, silent auction, lots of fun. Get tickets by going, if you want to get the page, go to our Twitter page, at Marks Reese WIP. You can go to my Twitter page as well. It's pinned at the top. And buy tickets there. It's 2 weeks from now. It's an open bar. It's appetizers. It goes to the Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center Director's Fund, which goes directly to cancer research. And helps support a great cause as we drink ice juice all night and hang out with all of our friends.
Real quick, the reason why he was the front runner for the MVP that year, it wasn't just because of his play. His team had the best record
in football. Yeah.
His team had the best record in football. That's what happens. That's how you win MVPs. It's not just numbers that you put up.
Well, and you can also connect the dots. The reason they had the record was because he was playing at such a high level, too.
My only point is that his team had the best record in the NFL. And that's why he was the front runner for the MVP. They were the best team in football.
Yeah.
Like, Drew Brees is thrown for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, and he still doesn't win an MVP because they go 7-9.
Agreed. Yeah, you're right.
You got to win games.
You got to do both. That's why it's not the player of the year. It's the MVP.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get back to the phones in a second. Ike, it's the All-Star Weekend, NBA All-Star Weekend this weekend. All right? And my highlight as a kid, and, I mean, actually, don't get me wrong. I love the three-point contest, too. Remember when Larry Legend needed the money ball to win it? And he's baseline, and he shoots it up, and he's walking away with the hand up in the air because he knows it's going in.
Yep.
And he wins it. The golden days. But the dunk contest was always what you look forward to, right? You got Michael, you got Dominique, Spud Webb won it. Doc started it all however many years ago. So who is your go-to dunker in-game and in the contest? Who's the first guy? Who's the one that you always loved? I'll tell you mine first. Dominique was always the guy I loved as a dunker, especially in the contest. But as a dunker, he was the guy that I loved in the contest. And he always got jobbed by Jordan. Mm-hmm. Jordan won when Dominique should have won. But it was always Dominique for me as far as the all-star dunker.
Yeah, you mean contest? I mean, Vince Carter's the best contest dunker.
Yeah,
I think Vince Carter is the best. So many good ones.
I think he's the best dunker, period.
Yeah, so
Who's your go-to dunker?
Go-to dunker?
Yeah, like who was your favorite?
I mean, in-game dunkers, Kobe Bryant's the best in-game dunker. Just go watch his highlights, in-game dunkers.
Kobe, huh?
Yeah.
In-game dunkers.
Dunks in games. Yeah, dunks on people. Go watch them.
See, I went Sean Kemp first, in-game.
Yeah, didn't have the creativity, more power.
Oh, he was one type.
Yeah.
Monster jam.
Power. Michael was a great in-game dunker, you know.
Smooth.
Dominique on the fast break, in-game dunker, power over you. You know what I mean? LeBron's a good in-game dunker.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know, he's a good in-game dunker, especially late in his career.
How about Kenny Skywalker?
Nah.
I don't even know if he played, did he?
Kenny Skywalker. Nah. He did win one.
He did. Yeah, that's why I bring it up. Jump on, 888-729-9494. In-game dunker, contest dunker, whatever it is, who's your go-to dunker? Last year, Donovan Mitchell won. This year, you're rooting for your Sparty.
Oh, yeah, Miles Bridges.
Yeah. Desmond Mason won one. Jason Richardson was excellent.
Yeah, I watched Jay Rich win it here.
You remember when Iggy got jobbed by Nate Robinson?
Oh, yeah.
Because
it was, Everybody remembers that one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was painful to watch that.
Yep.
Took him like a half hour to get his dunks in.
Yeah, I'm glad Nate Robinson no longer will ever be in a dunk contest.
888-729-9494. Let's go to Rick in Norristown. Hi, Rick.
How you doing?
How are you?
All right. First-time caller. Great show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Where do we stand? Listen, I don't follow the vaccine stuff, but can we get Le'Veon Bell in there? I mean, I think we need a running back. I really do. I mean, can we use Foles for that?
No.
Not
at all. Pittsburgh doesn't want Nick Foles.
Yeah, so Le'Veon could be. They were actually talking about this today. They could still control him with a transition tag, and then they'd be able to match offers. Bottom line is, Rick, you'd have to spend a lot of money. I don't know if the Eagles are looking to spend that kind of money on a running back.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, it's a need.
You got a couple more out there. You got Mark Ingram. He would be available. The running back from the Saints. You got Tevin Coleman from the Atlanta Falcons. He would be available.
I just think that, you know, double threat, you know, as a receiver, running back. Now, I mean,
but like John says, it's gonna cost you a lot of money though.
A lot of money.
All right, well.
I mean, listen, I would love to have him. I just don't think the Eagles would do it.
No?
I
don't think so either.
It's going to cost you some money to get Le'Veon. Le'Veon's not coming cheap.
With Howie, though, I guess you never really know.
Hey, it wouldn't put any pressure on them to draft a running back.
No, it wouldn't. And then you could maybe draft all defense and offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Honestly, with Howie, you never really know. How about this? In-game dunker. My barber John checks in.
Oh, yeah.
Clyde the Glide.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was smooth.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. For sure. Clyde the Glide, man. Yeah.
Underrated. Dr.
From
J?
From his college days. Five Slamma Jamma. Oh, of course, Dr. J.
Dr. J is the.
Of course.
He's the OG.
Yes.
Of it all.
Oh, yeah.
You think Zion participates next year in the dunk contest?
He has to.
Yeah, he's actually, amazing. I would tune in.
You can go ahead and give him the trophy right now.
Did you see that double jump against Virginia last week to block it? He jumped like halfway across the court to block it.
Yeah, yeah. He's pretty amazing.
He's gonna get with a team. You imagine, dude, if he goes, if New York gets that first pick, dude,
they're trying.
Dealing with Zion, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant. Whew.
Yeah, that better not happen.
Woo.
That's all I'll say.
Kyrie and KD is happening.
That's
for sure.
I don't know about for sure.
What?
A lot can change between now and then, but they've positioned themselves to do it for sure.
Yeah. I would like to see why it wouldn't happen.
No, I mean, yeah, but this conversation has been talked about for 10 years where the Knicks have tried to align. They gave themselves the cap space, and they're like, hey, we're the Knicks. Everybody's coming. And then nobody came.
Nope. Different situation. New front office. Ownership is out of the way. Guy drafted Durant in Seattle is now running the Knicks. Durant's already setting up business stuff in New York. He's had his new company. They are just like LeBron had been setting up in L.A. for 2 years.
He's doing the same.
Yeah, he's already doing it in New York.
Andrew in Allentown, best in-game dunker is who?
I mean, I can't believe you guys aren't talking about Shaq. He doesn't even shoot.
That's an underrated one. Listen,
that might be
an underrated best in-game dunker.
He has a tree in his backyard of broken rims from all the dunkers.
Yeah, not much creativity, but a ton of power. A lot of power, man. And he's usually dunking on somebody.
Yeah.
Even now, when he's playing pickup games, it's like, watch the rim.
Well, remember, was it in New Jersey? Was it the old Brendan Byrne Arena where he did the dunk where he brought the whole thing down?
Yep.
Chocolate Thunder, 888-729-9494. Chocolate Thunder was the first guy that started breaking backboards. Shaq was the first guy that just brought the entire device down.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Shaq, man. You know, Shaq, for me, there are only a couple players that you've seen and you like, there's never been anything like them.
Well, I agree with that.
And Shaq is one of them. LeBron is the other. Like, Shaq is one of the guys. I didn't get to see Wilt play. You know,
Wilt would be a guy like that.
You know, Mike obviously is the originator, but Kobe obviously being close to doing what Mike was able to do doesn't make Mike being the type of athlete he was that much.
But not like Shaq.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, or, not like Shaq.
Dude, like Shaq or LeBron. And I'm nowhere near LeBron. A LeBron fan. You can't be 6'8", 270-something pounds and do what he does in the open court as an athlete that LeBron does. I've never. It's like having Karl Malone and Michael Jordan in the same body.
Do you remember?
I mean, that's what that is. And Shaq. Shaq is something. Have you ever seen Shaq in person?
Yes, I have.
It doesn't even look real.
Well, no, it's like he could take me. He could just pick me up and throw me like a rag doll.
Anybody. Like, he could pick us all up that way.
He's that big.
Yeah.
Mutombo trying to guard him in the finals in 2001. Right. Because Shaq would just do that one move where he slams back. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mutombo's a huge dude. He looked like a piece of paper.
Too thin. Not enough bricks in the pocket.
Yeah, but who was big enough to?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah, nobody.
The only thing you could do was the hack a Shaq.
I mean, you may have somebody that was fat enough, but they couldn't. They're not quick enough to stick with him. So you could be big and slow. Shaq was an athlete, man.
Who are some good in-game dunkers? 888-729-9494. Tim and Pensauken. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing, man?
How are you?
I like how you guys doing.
Excellent.
Hey, man, this is my first time calling, man. I listen to you guys every single day, man. And I appreciate you guys so much, man. You make my drive home appreciative, man.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you got that, man. Hey, look, you know, you guys talking about the dunking. I'm old school. I'm in my 60s, man. And I'm going way back to the days of Bill Cowens and Kareem when Dr. J used to stand at half court and they used to clear from underneath the court and let doctors take it and do the hammer slam. You know, nobody talked about that, but that was the most exciting time when anybody ever slammed anybody one-on-one while everybody stood back and looked at it. But everybody else that you guys are talking about, they're just as cool, too, and I appreciate that. So I'm going to just get off and let you guys talk about that, okay?
Oh, appreciate that, Tim.
Dr. J's the OG.
Oh, yeah. And Doc had the grace. Doc had the fro flying through the air. You know what I mean? The hair.
He was graceful. You're right.
Yeah. And Doc did it when it wasn't as common. So it was still special. That's why the dunks in the 80s were special because everybody wasn't doing them.
No, it was. It was new.
When we got to the 90s, then it seemed like everybody
started to get a little old.
Yeah, everybody started.
Well, after
the athletes got better in the 90s.
After it got old, the Jordan was doing it. And when he more or less stopped doing it because, listen, you can't do that when you're in your 30s or whatever.
Right.
Then you're getting the Kenny Skywalkers that are bench players at best that are entering
the contest.
But
Vince brought it back. Vince Carter brought it back. That's when Kenny was like, the dunk contest is back.
Well,
back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's right.
That's an old shtick, too. I got to listen to him tomorrow with that nonsense. Shut it down. Shut it down.
Vince Carter across the board is the best dunker ever.
Yeah, I think everybody would agree with that.
Because he was the first guy that I remember that would do – he would make these guys that do stuff in the dunk contest, it's not a game. It's not in the middle of a game.
Right.
He would do those dunks in a game.
Oh, yeah.
He jumped – who did he jump over? Who was the player he jumped over in a game?
Some foreign player in the Olympics.
He jumped over him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Let's go to Todd in Delaware. What's up, Todd? How are you?
Fine. There's two types. There's the guys that, you know, they scream at the rim when they dunk it, and there's nobody around. I always liked the guys who could dunk in competition in games where they would just hammer it on somebody. And I'm going to give you a name. I don't know if Ike will agree with me.
Who you got?
I used to love watching Tom Chambers because he would dunk on anybody.
I said it to Ike earlier.
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't fancy, but he looked like he could dunk on a 20-foot rim. He would get so high.
I remember he was playing with Seattle one time. He was in the playoffs, and they were playing Golden State with JBC and Eric Floyd, or Sleepy Floyd.
Sleepy Floyd.
And he went baseline, switched hands, and jammed it right in Joe Barry Carroll's face, which was an amazing dunk. In a game.
Tom Chambers was a really good player, man.
Chambers, yeah. I remember when he got the All-Star MVP in Seattle, right? The game was in Seattle when he got the All-Star MVP. I think Magic helped him get the All-Star
MVP. Is that right? It wasn't in Phoenix?
Oh, it could have been in Phoenix.
I think
Because then you had Thunder Dan that was putting him down there, too.
Thunder Dan was another good one.
Yeah. There was one other great dunk Chambers had. It's on YouTube. I happened to be there because I went. I was in school and back up visiting people. I went to school. I'm from Philly, but I went to school in Boston. He was playing against the Celtics one night when he was with Phoenix, and he got the ball on the right side, drove to the rim, and he dunked on all three big guys. He dunked on Parrish, McHale, and Bird.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even the Boston fans went nuts.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
He was yeah. – he would dunk – he and – well, you know, the best dunker in games was probably next to Vince Carter. It was probably Dominique. I mean, Dominique was
the guy that the first guy that I used to notice always caught it off the rim. So when people would catch the ball off the rim and dunk it, like Dominique was the first one I remember had so many of his highlight dunks be where somebody shot a jump shot and he's going up for the rebound and just dunks it back in. Those were a lot of Dominique's dunks in game.
You know what Dominique's in game dunks were? It's like bat speed.
Yeah.
Sean Kemp had so much power. Dominique generated that power through just catching and whipping that ball up there. His double windmill dunk of the whatever All-Star game that was, where he went all the way down, came all the way back up with both hands.
Yeah,
it's something I'll never – was it 88?
88, where he got robbed.
Got robbed. Totally robbed.
88 in Chicago. Michael Jordan.
It was Chicago. Yeah, he was winning that regardless.
That's when I started hating Michael Jordan.
Because of that?
Yeah.
I didn't like that. Well, at the time, I thought Charles and the Sixers had a chance to beat him, and you know how silly that was. And when you're a kid, you don't really realize. Like, 1995, I'm like, yeah, man, Rodney Pete and the Eagles, they can beat the Cowboys. Like, nah, man, it's not happening. Let's go to Eli in Philly. What's up, Eli? How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I just want to weigh in here because you guys were talking about when, like, power dunking and rim breaking and backboard crashing started. You're talking about the 80s and the 90s. Let's go back to the 1960s, Convention Hall, and Luke Jackson.
1960s?
Does anybody know who he is?
Luke Jackson, I've heard.
You said 1960s. No, we don't know who that is.
You're kidding, right?
No.
Luke Jackson, the baseball pitcher for the
Wasn't Luke Jackson to play for Oregon,
Will
I think.
Chamberlain,
and then he wouldn't play for Seattle.
Al Greer, Wally Jones.
Well, we know Will Chamberlain. Oh, did
he
play for the Sixers?
I'm talking about his teammate.
Oh.
6'9", Luke Jackson.
Yeah, Eli, we're lost, bro. I mean,
tell us about him. Tell us about him. Instead of being like, oh, I can't believe you don't know who he is, tell us about him.
Okay. I used to go to Convention Hall when the Sixers were playing there. It was the Wilt Chamberlain, Al Greer era. You know, Chet Walker, Wally Jones, those guys. This is when Billy Cunningham was like a rookie.
Billy Cunningham.
So the 60s. And Luke Jackson was like the power forward on the team, and he was unbelievable. The guy, he broke backboards. And I'll never forget.
Power dunker.
Oh, yeah. And seeing that, you know, that glass on the floor of the convention center when I was like a 13-year-old kid, and it was just that was where it all began for me.
So he broke backboards before.
We got any footage of that?
I'm sure there's photos of it. I'm sure of it. I mean, footage. I don't know about footage, but I'm sure that photos could be dug up. Absolutely.
Well, he was a part of the. Thanks, man. He was a part of the '67 championship team. Luke Jackson.
Yeah, Luke Jackson.
There you go.
How'd you not know that?
Guy and Door and Windows has extended their big winter sale for one more month. Receive 40% off all windows and doors in February. 877-GO-GUIDA or visit GOGUIDA.com. Honestly, the only thing I could think of when he was saying Luke Jackson was Sonny Hill talking about him. We saw Sonny the other day.
Yeah, yesterday.
We saw him yesterday, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Sonny, yeah. Sonny, if you're listening, don't be mad. Don't be mad at me.
I'm telling you, dude. I only know Luke Jackson. First of all, I thought that was a character in some sort of action movie that's out now.
Probably is.
It's probably Luke somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then there, Luke Jackson. I'm telling you, there's a Luke Jackson that played for the Seattle Supersonics.
Yes, there is.
Right?
Yep.
Wasn't I right? A white point guard.
He was white, yep.
Went to Oregon?
That's the first name that came up when I Googled Luke Jackson NBA. This guy came
up. Yeah, that's who I that's the
went to Oregon, yeah.
Yeah. Come on, man. I know my stuff.
10th overall pick by the Cavs in 2004.
Sir. I know my stuff.
There you go. I remember he wasn't very good, right?
No, he wasn't.
Let me see. No,
he played with LeBron, though.
He had to have. Yeah, he wasn't any good. Not at all. Back to the phones. We have Roy in North Jersey. Hi, Roy.
What's going on, boys?
What's up with you?
What's up, Roy?
Hey, anything good, man. You know, I think I really want the Birds to go out and with their first pick in the draft to focus on the defensive line. I would love for them to do a running back and free agency. I called a while ago, and I mentioned the kid down in Atlanta. I would like Mark Ingram if Mark Ingram became available.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much Mark would go for. I don't know. How old is Mark Ingram? That's an awesome
29,
question.
29, I believe.
Yes, you're right, 29.
We looked at him before. Roy, to your point, I really think it's a good conversation to ask. Instead of being like, well, draft somebody, or no, like go out and say, listen, we're going to get one of the top guys on the market, and we're going to shore up the position. I think that's a pretty good opinion.
Yeah, 29 years old, though. I don't know about how I feel about 29 years old, though, you know?
Here's the thing.
Running backs go. You never get a heads up when a running back go. He just go, right? You know what I mean?
They do. No, you're right. They do sort of fall off. But here's what I would say. Even if you chose to get him, I don't think the price is going to be high because his age. He's 29 years old, and he's one more suspension away from being suspended, I think, for 10 games.
Yep.
If he tests positive, so that's going to work in any team's favor that wants to sign him from the standpoint of his market value can't be too high. So even if you bring him in, you could still draft a younger guy and sort of use him as a dual guy, a dual threat, right? You could still, because yeah. I like Mark Ingram.
My thing is, though, I would like to give you guys my in-game dunker, too, before you let me go. But
no, go ahead, yeah.
My only thing about it is if they go and get a guy like Ingram, I think that they will push back the round. They will want to take a running back in.
They would.
And running back they've been taking after the third round have been washed, man. They've just been off the mark. Well, but
listen, what you said is not wrong, but you could also still realize that, listen, Mark Ingram's probably 15 carries at most in a game.
True.
Go ahead, give me your dunker.
My best in-game dunker, Ike, you said before, like, LeBron James was like a mix of, like, Karl Malone and Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah, yep.
I disagree with you. I think LeBron James is across of my best in-game dunker in Michael Jordan, and that's Sean Kemp, man. That dude. Sean Kemp was filthy in game, man.
He's my favorite.
Kissed him. I mean, filthy. I forget who he caught the. Oh my God, he played for Cleveland. He caught the ball, dunked on him, swung his legs around. Dude hit the floor, slid up under the rim. Sean squatted in his face, pulling his face with both fingers. That's a technical foul these days, but you could just show a dude up back in the day. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, that's back when you could dunk on him and embarrass him
and stand
you know
over.
I mean? Yeah, stand over him. You know. Do that whole thing. No, Sean Kemp was a monster too. And Sean Kemp was 6'10".
Yep.
That was the crazy thing about Sean Kemp. He had like a 40-inch vert, and he's 6'10".
In his early days, he was
– Oh, yeah. Him and Gary Payton, man.
Oh, my
listen,
God.
Rain Man.
Man.
Rain Man. Sean Kemp.
No doubt. Yeah, and in those days, 6 foot – I mean, that was the day of the power forward in the center,
yes,
right?
Sir, yeah.
And now it's like, man, Sean Kemp – He would be playing center.
Here's
today.
What's crazy, and Rory was right. LeBron's not far from being Sean Kemp's size.
No, he's not.
Now, just think about that. At that size, being able to handle the ball and everything else. Because Sean Kemp was a true power forward. He couldn't handle the ball.
No.
Wasn't
no.
really a jump shooter. You know, he got a little 15-footer late in his career.
No, he was power inside.
He was all dunks.
Yep.
Him and Gary Payton, throw that thing up to Gary Payton. I mean, throw that thing up to Sean Kemp, glove.
Catch it, go down,
man.
Forget about it. Hey, coming up, I have the top 10 dunkers in NBA history as per NBA.com.
Oh.
All right?
Yeah.
As we get ready for All-Star Weekend this weekend. And your phone calls, 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494. Marks and Reese, we're live from Chickies. We return right after this.
Hey, if you're like...
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.